From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. The Alaska Department of Health and Social Services will be split into two separate departments in July. Governor Mike Dunleavy proposed a similar change last year that he withdrew after nonprofit and tribal leaders, as well as legislators, raised concerns. Under the change, there will be a Department of Health that would continue to do most of the work of the current Department of Health and Social Services, like overseeing the Medicaid program. Medicaid is one of the largest pieces of the state budget. The other new department will be the Department of Family and Community Services. It will oversee foster care, juvenile justice, Alaska Pioneer Homes, and the Alaska Psychiatric Institute. Adam Crum is the commissioner of the currently combined department. He says the administration reached out to nonprofit and tribal organizations earlier in the process this year than last.
Over the last year, we have worked extensively with our stakeholder groups multiple times each week to make sure they understood what was going on.
Crum says the large number of services he oversees has meant that he and his staff have moved from one crisis to another, and having two more focused departments will make that less likely. Senate President Peter Michicki says the process went more smoothly this year.
The biggest difference this year was we worked together, and we worked together with stakeholder groups, frontline workers, division leaders, and the administration, as opposed to it sort of plunking down on the desk. We knew it needed to happen, but I think folks needed to warm up to the idea.
But the process wasn't entirely smooth. A lawyer for the legislature raised potential legal issues, and a House committee tried to block Dunleavy's plan. Anchorage Democratic Representative Ivy Sponholz is a member of the committee. She would have liked to have seen the administration incorporate more public input into the plan than it did.
We've heard that the very successful reorganizations in other states have taken years to plan before going live.
Last year, the governor withdrew his proposal after the House committee proposed rejecting it. This year, he didn't, and Michicki says most senators supported the plan. Sponholz noted that under state law, the commissioner sits on several state boards and commissions, and while the administration has divided up which commissioner would sit on which board, she says those changes can't happen without the legislature passing them. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced today that Alaska Congressman Don Young will lie in state in the U.S. Capitol on March 29th. He died Friday after 49 years in office. Alaska's sole House seat will remain empty until a special election this summer. Young was famous for his rough edges and bluster. But Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports he had a soft side, too.
Young was on an Alaska Airlines flight Friday sitting next to his wife when he lost consciousness on final descent into Seattle. His spokesman, Zach Brown, was on the flight. He says paramedics waiting at the gate were unable to revive him. Sunday, the airline flew Young's remains to Washington, D.C. Longtime Young aide turned Washington lobbyist C.J. Zane was at Reagan National Airport Sunday to witness Young's casket taken away by motorcade and to offer comfort to his widow.
There was a lot of love there in that relationship, and I think she's in a lot of pain, but she also knows what an incredible run he had. What an incredible life he had.
Young was bombastic, but also bipartisan, an increasingly rare quality in the U.S. House. He was known for malapropisms, saying things like bladder dash and Pribilof's dogs. He uttered more than one ethnic slur. He was also regularly named one of the most effective members of Congress. Zane says Young had a big heart, but very human flaws.
He could say the wrong thing at the wrong time and then apologize for it later, or sometimes sort of gruffly refuse to apologize. But if you only see that part of him, you don't understand the whole person.
Everyone remembers that Young brandished an oosik, the penis bone of a walrus, at a congressional hearing. He made that crude gesture in 1994 to undermine the testimony of Molly Beatty, the first woman to lead the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. But when Beatty died of cancer 2 years later...
For what purpose does the gentleman from Alaska rise?
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent to take from the...
Young sponsored a bill in 1996 to honor her in Alaska in perpetuity.
This bill designates 8 million acre wilderness area in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge of the Molly Beatty as the Molly Beatty Wilderness Area. That's in my state.
Young said on the House floor he was familiar with the highly protected area he was naming after Beatty. It's north of his home in Fort Yukon. He said he hunted, trapped animals, and mined for gold there. Young was a zealous advocate of gun rights. He served for decades on the NRA board. He voted twice against impeaching Donald Trump, but was among the first Republican members of Congress to acknowledge Joe Biden's victory over Trump in the 2020 election. Interior Secretary Deb Haaland got to know Young when she was a freshman House Democrat. As Dean of the House, Mr. Young taught all of us to love the people and the states that we represent, Haaland said in a tribute on Twitter. Alaskans will vote four times this year to fill Young's U.S. House seat. A special primary followed by a special general election will fill the remainder of Young's term. Alaskans will also vote in a regular primary and a regular general to fill the two-year term that starts in January. The same candidates can run in both. For Alaska Public Media, I'm Liz Ruskin in Anchorage.
Anchorage Mayor Dave Bronson wants to rename the Port of Alaska in honor of Congressman Don Young. Bronson says, considering the hundreds of millions in federal money that Young was able to secure for the Port of Alaska, an appropriate way to honor Young's legacy in the state would be to name the port after him.
Don has always been a strong promoter of the port, and most recently was helping us advance permitting and working to get us funding for the port in Washington, D.C.
The Port of Alaska has been the subject of a massive revitalization effort to replace old infrastructure, like docks and pilings, dating back to at least 2014, when it was known as the Port of Anchorage. About 90% of goods consumed in Alaska come through the port. In October, Bronson said he hoped to get over $1 billion from local, state, and federal funds to help repair the aging port. He said his proposal asks for about $750 million from the federal government. Bronson says he's proposing the name change for the Assembly to consider on Tuesday. After that, a citizen naming panel would hold public meetings, check with code requirements, and provide a recommendation to the Assembly to officially rename the port the Don Young Port of Alaska. The U.S. Forest Service is in the middle of a lengthy process that may lead to significant changes at the Mendenhall Glacier Recreation Area here in Juneau. This month, it released a document detailing the possible environmental impacts of different expansion options. The public has a chance to weigh in on those right now. The original visitor center was built in the 1960s, and the glacier won't be visible from there at all in a few decades. There's also been a significant uptake in visitors since then, so the Forest Service has proposed expanded trails, a new welcome center, and remote glacier facilities, plus motorized boat tours on the lake to get people closer to the receding ice. A lengthy draft of the project's environmental impact statement is available online or at Juneau Public Libraries and the Mendenhall Visitor Center. A video summarizing the potential changes is also available online. The Forest Service will accept public comment until April 18th. There's also a chance to learn more and ask questions about the proposed work at an evening webinar on March 31st. If you shop at Foodland IGA in downtown Juneau, you may have seen Brian Buckman handing out a newspaper outside the store called The Homeless Changed. He started the paper back in March 2020. Last week was the two-year anniversary of the paper, and it's now on its 11th edition. Stories come from both Buckman and other people in the community.
They give me a writing they'd like to see in the paper, or I transcribe it for them while they explain it because they may have difficulty writing it.
They cover things like general morale of the community of people experiencing homelessness and the policies that impact them. One of the stories in the last edition is about ideas for long-term housing for people experiencing homelessness in Juneau. Buckman gives out a black and white version of the paper for free, and the color version is a $3 suggested donation. He says he's gotten a lot of support for the paper so far from businesses and people who buy the paper.
People are so generous. People give $20 bills for color editions when they're only asked to do a $3 suggested donation. People have given $50 bills for a color edition, and sometimes even over these 2 years, higher amounts.
Buckman's hoping to hand out the latest issue of the paper late this week or early next week outside of Foodland IGA. The paper is also available online through the crowdsourced funding platform Patreon. Search for The Homeless Changed. The Alaska Native Science and Engineering Program at the University of Alaska has received $5 million to expand its high school component to Dillingham, Kotzebue, and Juneau. The program's Acceleration Academy allows students to earn both a high school diploma and a bachelor's degree in 5 years. It's currently offered at the university's Anchorage, Bethel, and Matanuska-Susitna campuses. Program founder and vice provost Herb Schroeder says it helps the state and families save money.
Cost to government for a graduate from our university is around $300,000. And the cost to government for students graduating from acceleration is $88,000. And we want to make this opportunity available for every single student in the state.
Schroeder started ANSEP after seeing how many students from rural communities were unprepared for college math and science classes. Acceleration Academy students spend about half of their day in traditional classes and the other half working together on projects. Schroeder says about 70% of ANSEP students are Alaska Native.
This whole idea of collaboration came out of Alaska Native culture where everybody works together to be successful. And, you know, if you live in the village, everybody depends upon each other.
The funding will also allow the university to offer student housing at the Anchorage campus, which Schroeder says will make it more accessible.
There's a lot of students that live in communities that don't have access to those rural campuses that the university has. And they can come in starting in ninth grade and live in our residence halls and attend the Acceleration Academy we have on our campus here.
The Dillingham, Kotzebue, and Juneau programs will begin this fall. Next, Schroeder hopes to expand even further to Kodiak, Nome, and Fairbanks. In COVID-19 numbers, state data show 22 new cases were reported among residents and visitors to Juneau from Friday through Sunday. That does not include results from home tests. Bartlett Regional Hospital has 3 patients who are positive for COVID-19. None of its healthcare workers are sick or quarantining. Juneau schools are closed this week for spring break. Juneau's COVID-19 risk level remains at level 1, minimal. Statewide from Friday through Sunday, 358 new cases were reported among residents and visitors. 43 people who are positive for COVID-19 are hospitalized, including 3 people on ventilators. And finally, the National Weather Service put out a special weather statement this afternoon telling Southeast Alaska to be ready for a strong storm headed for the Panhandle tonight. Weather Service says to expect heavy rain and wind through midweek. That's it for the KTOO News Update for Monday, March 21st, 2022. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.